All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin today. Beautiful daf ahead of us today. Daf Mem Dalim Lav. Rabosai, first of all, a number of you have asked me about the halachos concerning rain on the first night of Sukkos. It's not going to rain. That's the first thing. And if it rains today, so to ask that shayla at 8:02 in the morning is a chisaron in emuna. A yid has to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to allow you to fulfill a mitzvah. If we have to figure it out later, Emir HaTzashem will figure it out later. But you go into Erev Yom Tov with an optimism, with an excitement. Okay, it's got a whole... HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a whole day to make it rain. It can rain for the next 12 hours, and we're golden. We're perfect. So, if we have to deal with it, we'll deal with it. But on a serious note, I'll put out the halachos Emir HaTzashem a little bit later on today in the event Chas V'Shalom. That it does, well, whatever it is, Chesh Baruch Hu has a beautiful plan for us. But the most important thing is, plan on sitting and eating in the sukkah, sleeping in the sukkah, doing everything in the sukkah, the weather and Mirat Hashem will cooperate. All right, well, say with that, let's begin. A beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. We're starting on Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Tan Rabban on first line. A really, really incredible Gemara today. Tan Rabban on Chilazon, Zehu Gufo Dom Eliyam, Ubriyosa Dom Eladag. The Chilazon. So the Chilazon, Rabbi, remember again, is the animal from which the Tcheles is made. So its body resembles the sea. Rashi points out over here, Mare Gufo Tavnis Diukno. So in other words, the image, in other words, its coloration resembles the sea. Ubriyasa Doma LaDag. But its makeup ultimately, again, resembles a fish. So being the way, I guess it's inside, it's kish because it resembles a fish. Va'ola Echel Shivim Shana. And it comes up ultimately, again, it comes up on the shore once every 70 years. Now, the Marsha points out on this, doesn't literally mean that it comes up on the shore once every 70 years, but rather what it means is, for some reason, there's some type of phenomenon. I was thinking about this, like, what's the... Cicadas, right? Like, so apparently once every 70 years, it washes up in abundance on the shore. You could always catch it in the sea anytime, but apparently it's more difficult to catch on a regular basis. But once every 70 years, it washes up en masse on the shore. So the Gemara says, Ubidamo tsovin tcheles. And ultimately, again, with its blood, so you dye the tcheles wool of the tzitzis. Lefichach damav yikarim. And now we understand, ultimately, again, why tcheles is expensive. So Rashi attributes the expensiveness of tcheles to the difficulty in procuring it. Rashi says, Lefichach, she'ina ola ela achos la'ayin shana damav yikarim. Because it only washes up on the shore once every 70 years, therefore it's expensive. So again, because ultimately, again, not that there's a limited supply, there's plenty of tcheles, but because it's apparently not so easy to get it, therefore again, tcheles is expensive. Tanya, bless you. So Gemara says as follows, I'm Rabbi Nassim, Ein l'chol kol mitzvah kala, sheksuva b'torah, she'ein matan schara ba'olam hazeh, uli... So Gemara says like this. We'll say, this is really an incredible, incredible Gemara. Rabbi Nassim says, even the easiest of mitzvos, mitzvah kala. Now, generally, when the Gemara talks about a mitzvah kala, it generally means something that doesn't require a huge financial expenditure or doesn't require an incredible physical expenditure. In other words, something that is relatively easily performed. Even a mitzvah kala, sheksuv b'Torah, shein matan schar ba'olam hazeh, even the easiest of mitzvos carries with it incredible reward in this world. Uli olam haba any yodea kama. And I will say, for every mitzvah that has schar, even the easiest of mitzvahs, has reward in this world. Now, reward in this world is measurable. We can understand what reward in this world is. And every mitzvah carries with it reward for olam haba. And the reward for olam haba, any yodea kama. I can't even begin to imagine how much schar there is for a particular mitzvah olam haba. So we'll say, you know, there's a famous vart. That's a famous story, not a vart. Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, one time, a person came to him, and they said, Rebbe, the Torah is false. Torah is false. So we'll say, so you know, so somebody says Torah is false, so very often the reaction to that is, you know, you're a kofar, and right? Get away from you. Levi Yitzchak had such avas Yisrael. So he said, Nusa, tell me, why do you think the Torah is false? So he says, Rebbe, It says in Kriyashma, Vahayim Shamoa Tishmua Mitzvos, if you will listen to my mitzvos, and then the Torah goes on to discuss the reward for mitzvos. So the man says to the Rebbe, he says, I have never performed one mitzvah in my entire life, yet I'm fabulously wealthy, I have everything. So you see the Torah is false. So Levi Yitzchak takes his hand, he says, look, The fact that you were able to ask me this kasha means that you read Kriyat Shema at least once in your lifetime. It says there's not enough money in the world to repay you for that one mitzvah. So that's how the Rebbe answered up the Apikoros. But I will say the idea over here is that for every single mitzvah, there's schar in olam hazeh. When we the Gemara actually says, the Baal Shem Tov says, we don't pass in schar mitzvah ha'amalaka. There is a reward for mitzvahs in this world in different ways. But whatever reward you're going to get for a mitzvah in this world is going to be finite. The reward that we have for mitzvahs in olam haba is infinite. That's what the Gemara means over here. That even a mitzvah kala, sheksuv b'torah, shein matan schar ba'olam hazeh. There is. Ein l'cha kol mitzvah kala b'sheksuv b'torah, shein matan schar ba'olam hazeh. There is reward for even the smallest of mitzvahs in this world. Oli olam haba ein yodea. And in the world to come, I can't even begin to describe to you how much reward there is. Rabbi, I'm about to tell you a story that is mamish going to change your life. So learn from a simple story regarding tzitzis. Now, Rabbi, Chazal consider, interestingly enough, tzitzis is called a mitzvah kala. We just said that tchelas is expensive. Okay, it's a one-time investment, but lemaisa, it's an easy mitzvah. Why is it an easy mitzvah? Because although there is an expenditure for tchelas, why is it easy? You just put it on. You don't have to do anything. You just literally have to wear it. You just put it on your body, and that's all you do. And again, after the initial expenditure for the tchelas, it's what's called in halacha a mitzvah kala. So the Gemara says, I want to tell you a story about a man and mitzvah kala and tzitzis. Listen to this. Say ulamad, mi mitzvah tzitzis. I'm very excited about this story. Very, very excited about this story. Because also, I hope it's coming through. But you're going to see, because it's not just about tzitzis. This is one of these life stories. So watch this. So say ulamad mitzvah tzitzis. Ma'isa ba'adam echad, shahaya zorb mitzvah tzitzis. I will say there was a man who was very particular with the mitzvah of tzitzis. Shama sheyesh zona bekrachei hayam, shenot teles dalid meos zuhuvim bischara. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. He was very careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis. He wasn't so careful with morality, right? So he heard, so apparently again, he went to zonas, he frequented harlots often, and apparently again, the local ones were not good enough for him. So he heard about a woman who was overseas, who charged an exorbitant amount of money. She charged 400 gold pieces as her fee. So what does he do? Even before we go on, I just want to point something out over here, which is amazing. So you understand, often what we say about a person like this, right? Bless you. So he's careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis, but yet he's spending exorbitant amounts of money on zona. So also remember again, if he's paying that amount of money for an overseas zona, chances are what? He's already kind of gone through the local markets, right? So you say, what would you say about a person like this? A faker. I'll say, you see, it's not true. You see, I'll say, at the end of the day, none of us are perfect. You see, the beautiful part is that in the world of Ruchnius, it's not all or nothing. It's not all or nothing. The guy was ridiculously immoral, as we're going to see, but yet what? He wore tzitzis. He was makbid on tzitzis. Does the fact that he was immoral take away from the mitzvah of tzitzis that he performed? And the answer is unequivocally no. See, Rabbi said, none of us are perfect. We all live with inconsistencies. All of us have things that we do well, and we have things in which we fail in very profoundly. We have mitzvos, and most of us usually commit some significant averos. And the fact that we commit significant averos does not cancel out our mitzvos. Sometimes people think, if I can't be perfect, if I can't do everything, then there's no point in doing anything. And it's pashat not true. We're going to see that this individual, he was makbid in one mitzvah. All of us, he was clearly a base and immoral individual. Yet that one mitzvah counts for something. Such an incredible yisod in the world of Luchnius. You don't have to be perfect. Even the things we do, despite all of our imperfections and averos, are still meaningful. So watch this. So he goes ahead, he decides to visit this zona. The Kavala Zman. So we'll say, what happens? So this lady is by appointment only. So he goes ahead and he makes an appointment with her. Kishegia Zmano. So he shows up for his time with this zona. Ba'at v'yashav ala Pesach. So apparently she had a waiting room, right? So he comes into the waiting room. Nichnasa shivchasa. Not only does she have a waiting room, but what? She has a secretary, right? She's got a receptionist. Right? So again, look, the zone is running an efficient business, right? So she's got a waiting room. She's got an assistant. So the shivcha comes in. Nichnasa shivchasa va'amra la oso adam sheshiger leich dalid meos zehuvim ba. That man who prepaid, right, and sent you the 400 zufar from overseas, he's here. So what happens? So the Gemara says, V'yashav ala Pesach, and he's waiting outside. Amrihi yikanes. So the Zona says, okay, let him come in. Nichnas, so the man walks in, and what does he see? So the Zona prepared everything very beautifully for him. It's Siolo Zayin Mitos. She prepared for him 7 beds. Sheish shel kesef, va'achas shel zahav. 6 of them of silver, 1 of them of gold. Now, both Saikin and the Marsha points out over here, it could either mean that the bed frames themselves made it, or more bepashtos is that the sheets were woven from silver thread, from gold thread. Ubein kol achas va'achas sulam shel kesef. And between each bed was a golden, was a silver ladder. Ve'al yona shel zahav. But the upper bed, right, the ladder to the upper bed was made of gold. Also the Yoshva al Gabi al Yonne Kishiaruma. And she was waiting for him on the upper bed, unclothed. She was waiting for him on the upper bed unclothed. Af the afhu ala leshev arum kinegdo. And Abba says, so what does he do? He goes ahead and he climbs the ladders in an effort to be with her, to go up to the top bed. Abba says, get ready for this. Bo'u Dalit Sitz Yosav Vitafhu lo alpanov. So Abba says, his 4 tzitzis came and hit him, slapped him in the face. The tzitzis. So we'll say, so the commentaries have 2 different versions of this. Either it means that there was a wind, which we'll say, see, this story is very reminiscent of the Elazar ben Durdaya story. Very reminiscent of the, and the, in the Elazar ben Durdaya story, there's also the Heficha, there's also she whispered to him. There's a blowing of air. So it could either be, again, same motif over here, that there's a wind that blows, that causes the tzitzis to go ahead and cause this to hit him in the face. What about say? The other possibility is what happens over here. He's taking off his tzitzis, and that's right to do the Maisa Aveira. And as he's taking off the tzitzis, what happens? The strings hit him in the face. So we'll say, this is amazing. The Yashav lo al gabe karka. So what happens? He runs down the beds, right? He runs down now, he leaves the bed, and he sits on the floor. Va'af hi nishmita v'yash al gabe karka. So we'll say, so what happens? So this Zona, as one could imagine, this never happened to her before, right? The client suddenly runs away, especially again, he prepaid already. So she doesn't know what's happening over here. She goes and she sits beside him on the floor. Amrlo gapa shel Romi. So gapa shel Romi, Rashi says over here is, Nishpa'a b'chaye ha-melech shusara shel Romi. She says, I swear by the emperor's life, She'ini manichascha. So she says to him, I swear, I'm not going to leave you alone. Ad she'tomer li ma mum ra'isabi. So we'll say, so this is amazing. She's having like a little bit of like a confidence issue over here. Like, what? Tell me. I mean, again, what's wrong? What did you see? What mum? What blemish did you see in me that caused you to run away in such a dramatic way? So the Gemara says, "Let's as well say this is amazing." Amr la ha'avod, he says, "I swear to you, shelo ra'isi isha yafa kimoseich. I have never seen a more beautiful woman than you in my entire life." Ella, mitzvah achas tzivanu Hashem alokeinu. But he says, "I have to tell you something." He says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu commanded us a mitzvah." And that mitzvah is tzitzis shema. The mitzvah is called tzitzis. Uksivba, and it says by this mitzvah, ani Hashem Elokeichem shtei pa'amim. The Rebbe says in the course of the mitzvah of tzitzis, it makes reference to ani Hashem Elokeichem asher otzeisi eschem me'eretz Yisrael lios lachem lelokim ani Hashem Elokeichem. It says, I am Hashem your God, twice by the mitzvah of tzitzis. Ani hu sha'asid li para. I am the God who ultimately, again, will exact payment from your sins. Va'anihu sha'asid l'shalim schar. and I am the same God who will also reward you. I am the God who takes payment for your sins, who will extract retribution for your sins, and I am God who will ultimately give you schar. So this man says, Nidmu alai kidalit edim. So the man says to the zona, he says to her, you know, I feel like now there are four witnesses who are about to testify against me if I engage in this act of immorality. The four witnesses being, again, each of the tzitzis. It says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem twice, but ultimately, again, so I'm Hashem your God who is going to exact retribution. I'm Hashem your God who will pay you, who will give you reward for your mitzvos. And now these are the four witnesses who will testify about what it is that I am about to do. So I'll say, just an incredible, incredible yisod here. Now, just pause here for just a moment. What's happening here? This man, presumably, led a life of, meaning this is not his first rodeo. You know, meaning this is not his first act of immorality. So, what's happening over here? Sirabosei, you know, if Soloveitchik writes about this in the Alat Shuva, about this idea that in life, all of us have our moment of awakening. We all have that moment, you know, often in life, we kind of keep trudging forward, going forward, doing things that I know are not really so good for me, but I just keep doing it because I don't give a thought. But all of us have that moment where my eyes are opened and I'm awakened to the realities of my life and to the realities of what I'm doing. I can't pretend anymore like what I'm doing is not wrong. I can't pretend anymore that it's someone else's fault. That moment where I say to myself, you know what? I have to take ownership for who I am, for the life I'm living, for what I'm doing. Rav Soloveitchik talks about this, not for now, but he models this after the episode of Avigail and her husband Naval. But again, we're not going to get into that now. For this man, Rabosai, this moment, when the tzitzis came off and smacked him in the face, that was the moment when, again, Rabosai, whether the tzitzis did smack him in the face, didn't smack him in the face, it doesn't make a difference. What ended up happening over here could be, Rabosai, that as he's taking off his tzitzis, the tzitzis, the strings just gently grazed his face. But Lamaisa, that was his moment of awakening. That was his moment when he said, you know what? I have to stop living life with my eyes closed. I have to stop pretending like everything is okay when it's not. There are problems that need to be fixed. Everyone has that moment of hisorus. Everyone has in life that moment of awakening. A lot of times, unfortunately, we have it when we're much older. So the goal in life is to have that moment when I'm as young as possible. Because if I'm young, then I still have the opportunity again to change my life in accordance with that new awakening. But that's what's happening. We're going to say everyone, even the most immoral individual, has that moment of his orus. So the man says to the zona, it's not you, it's me. You're beautiful, you're fantastic, you're wonderful. But at the end of the day, I now recognize that there is going to be an accounting for how I live. So look what happens, Rabosai. The story is not over. Get ready for this. Amro, though. She says to him, Eini manichacha ad shetomer li mashmecha. So listen to this. The Zohar, Rabosai, is overwhelmed by the piety of this man. She's overwhelmed by it. She's overwhelmed. She has never seen a person like this. So she says to him, fine, I'll let you go, but I'm not going to let you go. I don't know if she refunded his money or not, but I'm going to let you go. But I'm not letting you until you tell me, what's your name? Umashim Ircha, listen to this, what's the name of your city? Umashim Rabcha, who's your Rebbe? Umashim Midracha, what base medrash do you learn in? Shatalamad Batar. So we'll say, so I have to understand something, it's because that's what we said before. Who was this guy? Now, the Gemara never gives us his name, although the Rishonim posit that he's another man who's identified in Avodah Zarah as a man by the name of Nasan Tzutzisa, who was a man who was known to be exceptionally pious and meticulous in his performance of the mitzvah of tzitzis. But the Gemara, for understandable reasons, doesn't give his identity. But we'll say, but what's amazing? What's amazing? He has a Rebbe, or maybe a Rebbe, I don't know, it depends on his orientation, right? But he's got a Rebbe, he's got a Beis Medrash that he learns at, because we'll say, you understand, this man had an area of weakness, but he also had many, many, many milas. He had an area of weakness, but he also had many, right? For some reason, she understood he learned in the Beis Medrash. He had a Rebbe. So she says to him, tell me, I'm not letting you go until you tell me your name, Tell me your base medrash. Tell me your Rebbe. Now, why does she want this information? I will say, watch this. So, v'nasan biyada. So, he goes ahead and he gives all the information. He leaves. So, we'll say, he leaves. For this zona, this was a life-changing event. I will say, listen to this. Because the tzitzis didn't just smack the guy in the face, but who else did they figuratively smack in the face? The zona. And she realizes, oh my gosh, meaning this is a wake-up call for me also. I can't live my life like this. There has to be more. There has to be something different. So we'll say, listen to this. The zona has a hisorus. What's her hisorus? Amda v'chilka kol mechasa. She decides, you know what? Time for a new chapter. New chapter of life. She gets up and she sells off her entire estate. All of her property. What does she do? Shlish lo malchus. She gives a third to the government. Now, we'll say, now, why does she give a third to the government? Rashi says, she anichel is gayar. Now, essentially, what she does, she has to buy her way out of this life. Because, as we'll see in just a little bit, she was, zona to the stars? You know, she was like, she was the zona to the upper echelon of society. So again, therefore, she had to buy her way out of this life. So she gave a third to the government. Shlish laniyim, a third to charity. Ushlish natla biyada. And she kept for herself. Chutz me'osan matzah. So we'll say, the one thing she kept were the sheets from her bed. That was the one thing she kept, right? The golden and silver sheets, she did not give that away. That she kept. Basel lebeis medrashal sherebi chia. I will say, get ready for this. This is wild. So she comes to the beis medrash rabbi chia. So the sheet of mikubetz changes this to rabbi achia. Okay. Comes to the beis medrash of rabbi chia. So remember again, why did she come to the beis medrash of rabbi chia? Why did she come? Because the client was one of Rabbi Chiya's Tamidim. How does she know to show up at this issue? Because she has this on the patek, right? She has this on the note. This man who came to visit her was a Talmud of Rabbi Chiya, in his base medrash. So she shows up in his base medrash. Amar lo Rabbi, tziva alai v'ya'asuni giyoras. Rabbi, I want to convert. Amar lo biti, shema einecha nasata be'echa minatamidim. So Rabbi Chiya says, okay, this is not like an everyday occurrence where the most famous zona in Rome shows up in the base medrash, ultimately Rabbi Chiya, to convert. She says, my daughter, maybe there's someone here you want to marry, and that's why you came. Now, Rabbi say, I want to point out what's happening over here. Remember, the halacha is, one is not permitted to convert for the sake of marriage. So Rabbi Chiya is saying, you know, what's going on? Is there someone here you want to marry? So actually, this is really quite interesting. So what does she do? Hotziya ksav miyada. So ultimately, again, she shows him the piece of paper. Now, Bosse, and I want to point out over here, Rashi, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Hotziya ksav miyada, v'sapra lo kol hama'ora, shalashim shamayim hi miskayaras, l'fi sheshama nes gadol shalchomer mitzvah shetapchu lo tzitis aponav. So Bosse, listen to this. So she shows up, and the reason she shows him the note, this lady's intention, Rabosai, was not to marry this man. What motivated her, Rabosai, to show up was, what overwhelmed her? So what overwhelmed her was two things. Number one, the incredible piety of this individual. And number two, the power of mitzvos. See, Rabosai, this mitzvah of tzitzis saved this young man from literally falling irretrievably into the abyss of immorality. That's what happened over here. The mitzvah of tzitzis saved him. She was overwhelmed by the power of mitzvah. So she was overwhelmed by two things. The piety of the Jew, that even a Jew who was clearly, at least at some point in time, so depraved, can make a conscious decision to change. Obviously, hear this. You can make a conscious decision to change yourself. No matter how broken you may be, no matter how depraved I may be, I can make a conscious decision to change myself. She was overwhelmed by this. Because often we assume we're victims of circumstance. Often we assume that we are who we are and we cannot change. She saw with her own eyes the narrative, the story of the young man who clearly was so immoral, yet in one moment made a decision to change himself. But what was the catalyst for that decision? A mitzvah. See, Rabosai, we think of mitzvahs as things we just perform. Mitzvahs save us. Mitzvahs embrace us. Mitzvahs hold us. Mitzvahs change us. She saw this, and what does she say? I want this. So to be clear, she tells Rabbi Chiya the whole story, but her initial intention was not to marry this young man. That was not her intention. So what happens? So after this, Rabbi Chiya teaches her. Rabbi Chiya becomes her Rabbi as well. So what happens? So the Gemara fast tracks the story a little bit. She converts. After she converts, Rabbi Chiya has a suggestion for a shidduch. What's the suggestion? Who's the suggestion? That same young man. Amar la lechi zechi b'mecheich. So he says to her, go literally again and acquire your possession. He says, He read the shidduch. So I'll say, by the way, it's an interesting discussion about shidduchim as well. Right? No one asked about yichus. No one asked about her parents. It's a good thing no one asked about her past, which is an even better idea. So Rabbi Chiya goes ahead and suggests the shidduch between this young lady, this woman, and one of Rabbi Chiya's talmidim. So listen to how the story ends. Oson matzos shehetzielo be'iser, hetzielo beheter. And he says to her, you know what? Those same sheets that you had originally spread out on the bed for a ma'isa avera, now use them to adorn your marital bed, ultimately again for a ma'isa mitzvah, for a union of kiddush and tara, for a marriage of kiddush and tara, for a marriage, for a life ultimately again of holiness and of beauty. Ze matan schara ba'olam hazeh. So this the Gemara says, and the story itself, Rabbi Osei, is such an overwhelming story. It's an overwhelming story because it's a testament to the power of change, no matter how broken a person may be, no matter how depraved, no matter how terrible things may be going, in a moral way, in a spiritual way. If a person chooses to go ahead and turn their life around, they have the ability to do so. Whatever your past is, it need not define your future. That's the power of the story. The other power of the story, we'll say, is the power of mitzvos, even a mitzvah kala. So think about what happened over here. Tzitzis, which Chazal defined as a mitzvah kala. We'll say the mitzvah of tzitzis saved two lives. It saved the life of the wearer, of this unnamed young man, and it saved the life of this Zona. The Zona was saved by tzitzis as well. She never wore the tzitzis, but she saw the power of tzitzis. So we'll say, if this is the power of the mitzvah of tzitzis in Olam Hazeh, then imagine the schar of the mitzvah in Olam Haba. And I will say, this I can't tell you, sometimes, you know, unfortunately, we look at our Yiddishkeit, you know, as a responsibility that sits on our shoulders. A lot of stuff, and it's true, there are a lot of expectations. But I will say, we can't even begin to imagine what these mitzvos do for us in this world, and the beauty that they're going to possess for us in Olam Haba. That's the power of just the mitzvah kala. Imagine the mitzvos that we're moser nefesh for. Imagine what they do for us in this world. And they do for us in the next. Incredible, incredible story. Incredible story. Okay, the Gemara goes weiter. Amar Rav Yehuda. So we'll say a little bit back to Halacha. And again, I will say this, by the way, it's the power of people. It's the power. People go through life and they think that they're so broken, and they think that they're not holy, and they think that they're not special. And it's pashut not true. People go through life fundamentally and profoundly underperforming and never tapping into their potential because they write themselves off. We write ourselves off. And a story like this says the most notable zona in Rome. People say, I don't care what you have or what you haven't done over the course of the last year. I can tell you one thing with absolute certainty. You're not the most notable Zona in Rome. And that's not a comment on your looks. You're all beautiful. You're all wonderful. You're all handsome. I would say, but we're not. And look what Rabbi Chiya says to her. Rabbi Chiya calls her Biti, right? Remember again when she shows up at the door, right? What is it? Rabbi Chiya from the beginning. He tells her, my daughter, because Rabbi Chiya perceives in this girl that she's looking for something. All you have to do in life is look. And if you're willing to look within the world, if you're willing to look within yourself, you're going to discover the most beautiful, magnificent repositories of Kedusha. It's an incredible, overwhelming story. You could use it in your sukkah. Maybe, you know, figure out who to use it with. And time this for the right meal. Maybe when the kids go to sleep, you know. but you could clean it up a little bit, but it's incredible. Okay, anyway, weiter. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Talis Shula, I'll say a little bit interesting halacha. A borrowed talis. So again, in this case, I'll say I'm borrowing a cloak. So kol shloshim p'turminatzis. So I'll say this is if I borrow a four-cornered garment from someone else. I borrow a four-cornered garment from someone else. What's the halacha? P'tura min tzitzis. So I'll say for the first 30 days that I've borrowed it, it is pater from tzitzis. It is pater from tzitzis. Now I'll say, now what's the logic behind that? The logic behind that is the pasuk says that you shall, the pasuk says, gedilim tase lecha al arba kanfos kisuscha. The halacha is that tzitzis has to be placed on your kisus. On your kisus. So therefore, again, if you borrow a four-corner garment from someone else, so for the first 30 days, ultimately, again, it's pater. If you borrow for longer term, then what? Then there's an element of ownership that's associated with that, and therefore you have to put tzitzis on. So we'll say, by the way, this halacha, mikan ve'ele chayavis, after 30 days, you're chayv to put tzitzis on. We'll say, now I want to put points on the out of it, which is very important, which is that, you see from here another important halacha, which is, remember we had the whole machlokas, is tzitzis a chiyuv gavra or a chiyuv on the chefza? So what do you see from here, right? Is tzitzis a chiyuv on the individual or is chiyuv a tzitzis on a four-corner garment? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, if I have a four-corner garment that I don't wear, it's sitting in my drawer, do I have an obligation to put tzitzis on it? So what do you see from here? You see clearly from here that the halacha is that tzitzis is a chiyuv on the chefza. Excuse me, on the gavra, I'm sorry, on the individual, right? Because it will say, if I have a four-corner garment that I don't wear, I don't have to put tzitzis on it. If the tzitzis was a chiyuv on the object, then there's no such thing as lending out a four-cornered garment, ultimately, again, that doesn't have tzitzis on it. Every four-cornered garment that have tzitzis on it. Elamai, what do you see from here? That ultimately, again, there is no obligation to put tzitzis on the garment unless, of course, again, a person is wearing it. You can set it up as a case of where I'm borrowing it from a guy. You could set up a case like that. But I will say, and that is the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. If you have a four-cornered garment that you're not wearing, there is no obligation to put tzitzis on that garment. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. So therefore, again, I will say, if you borrow a garment for the first 30 days, ultimately, again, you don't have to put tzitzis on it. But after 30 days, you have to put tzitzis on it. Tainam yachi, both say, this is some halacha by mezuzah. Tainam yachi, hadar bepundiki v'eretz Yisrael. If you're living in an inn, a hotel in Eretz Yisrael, v'asocher bayis b'chutz la'aretz, or you rent a home in chutz la'aretz, both say, what's that halacha? Ko shloshim yom patra min ha-mezuzah. For the first 30 days, you are exempt from mezuzah. Mikan ve'elech, chayiv v'chayiv. But afterwards, I will say, you are chayiv. I will say, this is actually a very important halacha that people often get confused about. If you are renting an apartment, what's the halacha? You have 30 days to put up your mezuzah. I will say, people often confuse this. If you buy a home, you must put up your mezuzahs immediately. There is no din of 30 days by buying a home. When you buy a home, mezuzahs have to go up immediately. The 30-day window is by rentals. It's by rentals. So therefore, again, adar b'pundiki b'eretz Yisrael, v'asocher bayis b'chutz la'aretz, or you rent home in chutz la'aretz, kol shloshim yom patur min ha-mezuzah, mikan ve'elech chayiv, aval asocher bayis b'eretz Yisrael. But we'll say, watch this. If you rent a home in Eretz Yisrael, oseh mezuzah la'alter. We'll say, it's actually very interesting. The Gemara says, that's true for rentals outside of Eretz Yisrael, but if you rent a home inside Eretz Yisrael, then what? We'll say that's as opposed to Darba Pundiki. Pundiki is like a hotel, right? But if you rent a home in Eretz Yisrael, you have to put up a mezuzah immediately. Why? Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael. We'll say, this is actually amazing. Look at Rashi just a moment. Mishum Yishev Eretz Yisrael. De la'achar shekava, shuv in anot l'mishav. We'll say, listen to this. The Gemara makes the assumption that once you put up a mezuzah, you're going to be much less likely to move, right? Why? Why is that? So Rashi says over here, "De'la'achar shekava shuv in anot l'misham," because we'll say the halacha is, you know, the halacha is once you put up a mezuzah, you can't take them down. Now, what does that mean? The halacha is that once you put up a mezuzah and you move, your mezuzahs do not automatically come with you. In other words, if someone else Jewish is moving in, you have to leave them there. So because I run the risk of incurring a significant financial loss, so therefore again, the Gemara says, Misha afilu yotzei meno kidamar perak ashol ba mitziya hilchach, bekoshi yetzei mimeno mipnei torach mezuzah acheres, vafilu yotzei mimeno yiskarena achar mehera, kishim se'ena mizumenas ba mezuzah, v'nimtzeis eretz yisrael miyushalas. So listen to this. Chazal have a vested interest in making sure that Eretz Yisrael is always inhabited. Yish of Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? So we'll say, so in Eretz Yisrael, if you rent a home, the halach is, you have to put out the mezuzos immediately. Why? What does that do? Because it will say, the Gemara says one of two things. It makes it much less likely that you'll leave. Why, Rabbi Osai? Because if I know that when I leave, my mezuzahs have to stay. So suddenly, again, the apartment is not so cramped. Suddenly, again, it's okay. And at least the people living in our cell. And even if I do leave, so somebody will be very quick to jump on renting an apartment that is already mezuzahed. It's my new verb for today, mezuzahed. Right? We had tzitzist. Now this is mezuzahed. And therefore, again, we ensure that Eretz Yisrael is inhabited. Good. Next, I will say two dots. Tefillah shel yad eino me'akev. So I'll say, switching back to tefillin. So remember again, the Mishnah said that tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh are two different mitzvos. And therefore, what? If you only have one of them, the halacha is you perform the mitzvah that you have. So Amar Rav Chisda, lo shon ela sheyesh lo. So Chisda said, when do we say that tefillin shel yad, tefillin shel rosh are two different mitzvos and are not me'akev one on the other? That's when you have both. Aval ein lo me'akeves. But if you only have one, Rabosai, and you don't have the other, then ultimately, again, the absent one is ma'akev, and you cannot fulfill the mitzvah with the remaining one. So the Gemara says, Amr lo amrit, Amr lo hulo. So I said, and did you really say this? Did you say this? He said, no, I didn't say this. Ela man de les le tre mitzvos, chad mitzvah lami lo le'avid. So we'll say, so they said, your statement doesn't make sense. I don't understand. So because a person doesn't have mitzvot, two mitzvot, therefore, they shouldn't go in and perform one mitzvah. Rav Chisda Rabosai seems to be saying that if you have two, and you only put on one, you get the mitzvah. But if you only have one, then you can't perform the one that you have in the absence of the second one. So Rav Chisda, it doesn't make any sense. So now you're going to tell me because you don't have two mitzvahs, you shouldn't even get one mitzvah. Umeikara ma'isar. So Rav Chisda backpedaled on this. But what was his initial havamina? Savar gzeira shema yipasha. And basically what Rav Chisda was concerned about was as follows, which is that halacha lemaisa, in the event, if we tell you that if you only have one, you could fulfill the mitzvah, then Abba say, what's going to happen? We're afraid that that will cause people to not be so zoriz in getting the missing one. So if Rav Chisda wanted to say initially, unless you have both, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of either. Because he felt that would be the oomph to get people to ensure that people would what? Would buy both. But Einach Inami, the halach is, Rabbi said that what? They're two different mitzvahs. And therefore, even if you only have one, you fulfill the mitzvah that you have. Amar Rav Sheshes, Kol Sheinu Maniach Tefillin over Bishmona Aseh. Rav Sheshes said, Rabbi said, Dir halacha lemaisa, if you do not put on tefillin, you are in violation of eight positive commandments. You look at Rashi lists them. V'choshen lo tzitzis b'bigdo, and if you don't, go ahead and put tzitzis on your garment. Over b'chamisha say, you're in violation of five positive commandments. V'chosh kohen she'eno olu l'duchen, and I will say any kohen ultimately who doesn't go up to duchen. Over b'gimel say, is in violation of three positive commandments. Ko she'en lo mezuzah b'pischo, if you don't have a mezuzah on your doorway. Over b'shnei aseh, uksaftam, you're in violation of two aseis. Va'am reish lakish, so we'll say, so again, the idea over here is you see with all of these things, so ultimately, again, if I don't put on tefillin, if I don't go up to duchen, if I don't put a tzitzis, I might beg it, if I don't put a mezuzah, so again, am I committing an avera? No, I'm not committing an avera. What am I doing? I'm missing out on the performance of a positive commandment. Va'am reish lakish, cholam aniyach tefillin, ma'arich kiyamim. We'll say, by the way, I just want to point out the irony that you understand, like, we've seen a lot of incredible timing in this Gemara. So whoever puts on tefillin every day, ma'arich yamim, enjoys longevity. Shene emar, on the days the pasuk says, quoting the pasuk from Yeshaya, Hashem, or Adonai alehem yichyu, ulechol bahen, chayei ruchi ve'tachlimini v'achayeni. So the Gemara is dashing over here, the Hashem aleihem, Rashi points out over here, is osam shenosim aleihem shem Hashem betfilin yichyu. What does it mean, God is upon you? That's reference to tefillin. If God is upon you, meaning tefillin is upon you, then ultimately again, chayei ruchi v'tachmin v'chayeni. Life is upon you. Arichos yamim, we'll say, understand? So the Gemara sees away, tefillin is the school of arichos yamim. We'll say, what's the irony? Not the irony, what's the... When are we learning this Gemara? Right? Erev Yantiv, which for many of us was the last day that they're putting on tefillin for the next week. Many of us don't put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. We'll say, as I think the timing is everything, sometimes you don't really appreciate what you have until you don't have it. It's just the way life works. You know, when I have it, so I don't appreciate the full profundity of it. When I no longer, I will say, so it's an amazing thing. I just learned that putting on tefillin is an incredible school of arichos yamim. When do I learn this? I learned this I just put on tefillin 15 minutes ago, or whatever, 45 minutes ago, and I'm not going to put on tefillin for another week. So I say, hopefully the next time, you know, they say Rav Levi Yitzchak, not Rav Levi Yitzchak, seriously, Rav Levi Yitzchak used to stay up the whole night of Matzah Yamtiv because he could not wait to put on tefillin the next morning. He wanted to be up at the first crack of dawn, the Mishiyakir, to be able to put on tefillin because he hadn't put on tefillin for all the days beforehand. So again, the next time you put on tefillin, again, sometimes we take that mitzvah for granted. As I often say, you know, sometimes the only way we remember that we put on tefillin, because sometimes we're asleep, we're tired in the morning, as I realize, yeah, there are marks on my arms. I must have put on tefillin, right? I know that it happened because I have physical proof. Nothing else about the experience do I remember, but I know that it was on my body at some point in time. But we see the power of these mitzvot that we often take for granted. Mishnah, Hasula. So we'll say a little bit back to Karbonos. But again, it's good Karbonos. It's exciting Karbonos. It's riveting Karbonos. So it says the Mishnah, Hasula. So we'll say this really is. It's actually very, very interesting. Hasolas v'Hashem in Machas. So we'll say we're talking about over here. We're talking about over here a carbon called Minchas Nisachim. Minchas Nisachim was the type of carbon. It was a mincha that was offered together with a wine libation. Look at Rashi. So before we get to Rashi, the Gemara says Hasolas v'Hashem in Ma'akvin Zedzeb. Excuse me. Hasolas v'Hashem in Ma'akvin Es Hayayin. V'lo Hayayin Ma'akvin Ehamat. V'lo Hayayin Ma'akvon. So what says the halach is when you brought minchas nesachim. Rashi says over here. Look at Rashi. Solus v'ashamen shem minchas nesachim in ma'akvin esayin shem hevi yain below solus v'ashamen minaschan. Supposed to listen to this. What was the minchas nesachim made up of? It was a two part carbon. There was a mincha that was made of wine, oil and flour, and then there was a nesach which was made up of wine. So the Mishnah just says, if you have to bring a minchas nesachim and you're missing the wine, you could still bring the mincha made up of the flour and oil. If you're missing the flour and oil of the mincha, you could still what? Offer up the wine libation. So minchas nesachim is made up of both the mincha and the nesach, the wine libation. If you're missing one of the two, you could still bring the other one which is remaining.
Amen.
Hamatano shabbos be'ach hachitzon. But say similarly again, if you have a carbon that has multiple blood applications, what's the halacha? In ma'akvo zuazu. So we'll say, as we already saw this before, there are certain carbonates which have multiple blood applications. As long as you perform one blood application, the carbon is kosher, and the absence of the subsequent blood applications does not invalidate the carbon. Beautiful. Says the Gimar. Tan Rabbanon. Here we go. Umin chasav v'niskehem. Bosai, Yosem Ashkacha, tomorrow's Kriyas HaTorah. Tomorrow's Kriyas HaTorah. You can give me a little bit more than that. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. At least make eye contact. All right, they're good. All right, good. Tanah Rabbanon, min iskehem. Bosai, so the Pasuk says, remember, speaking about the Karbanos of Yomtiv, min chasam min iskehem, that the Karbanos of Yomtiv come with a mincha and a nesach. There's a mincha and a mincha. So listen to this. Havei mincha, v'achar kach havei nesachim. So the Rabbanon Paskin, the Rabbi said the order of Karbanos is as follows. You first bring your regular animal sacrifice, and then ultimately again you bring the Mincha, and then the Nesachim. So Rabbi said the order is Mincha, then Nesachim. Rabbi Omer, no. The Pasuk says, Zevach v'niskehem. The Pasuk says, the Karban, then the Nesachim. Habeis, Havei Zevach, v'achar kach Havei Nesachim. And then Rabbi said afterwards the mincha. So in Rebbe's model, it's nesachim then mincha. In the Rabbanon's model, it's mincha and then nesachim. So it's a machlokes about the order of the minchas nesachim. Rebbe, nami haksev minchasam eneskem. What does Rebbe do with the pasuk that says minchasam eneskem? It sounds like what? That the mincha comes before the nesach. Hahu mi boi le minchasam v'niskehem balaylo. So according to Rebbe, that pasuk actually comes to teach me what? Interestingly enough, that the minchas nesachim could be offered up at night, or the minchas nesachim could even be offered up the next day, which Rebbe means as follows. That as much as the minchas nesachim is part of the seder hakarbanos, it need not be offered up together with the actual animal offering. Instead, if you offer up the animal offering, you could offer up the Minchas Nesachim that night or even the following day. What did the Rabbanan do with the phrase Zevachu Nesachim? Homi Baile Lechid Ziri. People say they need that to teach in the din of Ziri. What is Ziri? Say, Dhammer Ziri, Ein Nesachim Niskachin Ela Beshchitas HaZevach. Ziri says that Nesachim, Rabbi say, the wine libation, only becomes sanctified when the carbon is shechted. In other words, before the carbon is shechted, even if the wine is set aside for a Nesach, it does not become Mekudosh as Nesachim until the point that the carbon itself is actually shechted. I have a Rebbe Nami Mibayle Lechid Ziri. Rebbe ultimately requires the din of Ziri. The Rabbanan Nami Mibayle Lemin Chasam Niskehem Balayla, O Min Chasam Niskehem Afiul Lamachar. I also say, where did the Rabbanan also need to learn this halacha? That what? That the Minchas Nesachim can be offered up even the following night or even the next day. To which the Gemara says, Ella, Haima Time of the Rabbanan. And Rebbe will say, in reality, the reason of the Rabbanan is as follows. The Rabbanan hold, the Chsev, Ola U Mincha. The Rabbanan holder will say what? That the Pasuk says, Ola u'mincha. Therefore again, Rebbe nami haksiv Ola u'mincha. So we'll say, the Rabbanan really learn out their drasha as follows. The Rabbanan hold, that when it comes to minchas nesachim, first it's the mincha, then it's the nesachim. Where did they learn that from? The Pasuk that says, Ola u'mincha, which teaches me that when a carbon has a minchas nesachim, first there's the animal offering, that's the Ola, then mincha, and then nesachim come afterwards. I have a Rebbe nami haksiv Ola u'mincha. What does Rebbe do with this Pasuk, Ola u'mincha? Ela bebay. So therefore the Gemara says like this. Let's reframe this whole thing. Bebay mimazavach to kuli amalo pligi. So we'll say, watch this. When the minchas nesachim is offered up together with the carbon, everyone agrees that what? The mincha v'achar kach nesachim. Shabbos said, when you are bringing a minchas nesachim with an animal sacrifice, everyone agrees that what? The sacrificial order is first the animal offering, then the mincha, and then the wine libation. Everyone agrees with that. Ki pligi. When the ksiv olo mincha, where do they argue about Rabbi Sai? Beba'in b'fnei atzman. Rabbi Sai, you know where they argue? They argue when the minchas nesachim is being brought by itself, not together with the animal carbon. Watch this. Rabbanan Savri, midiboin imazevach minchach v'achakach nesachim, b'fnei atzman ami mincha v'achakach nesachim. Rabbi Sai, so the Rabbanan sheet is as follows. The order always remains the same. Once we have an order for minchas nesachim, when brought together with the carbon, we'll say, what's the order when it's brought together with the carbon? What's the order? Carbon, then mincha, then nesachim. The Rabbanan say, that is the order, the olam void. And even if you're bringing the minchas nesachim not together with the animal sacrifice, still the order is going to be what? Mincha and then nesachim. Don't change up the order. The Rebbe says, no. Hasam hu da'aydi da'aschal ba'achila, Gamarla Nikula Milsa Dahila. Rebbe says, the reason why when you bring the Minchas Nesachim ultimately again with an Ola, that the order is Mincha and Nesachim is because just like the carbon is consumed, so therefore we bring the other items which are consumed first, and then only the items that are not consumed. So for example, in a Minchas Nesachim, the Mincha itself is consumed, the Nesachim are not. So therefore go carbon, Mincha, Nesachim. But however, avabifnei asman nesachim adifi. But also, when the minchas nesachim is being brought by itself, then ultimately, again, it's the wine element that is more chashuv. Why? Hoyel v'misamra shira alayu. Because Rabbi say, ultimately, again, when a nesach ultimately is brought by itself, so the Levim say shira on a nesach, they don't say shira on a mincha. And Rabbi say, that is indeed how the Rambam paskins. Halacha lemaisa, when the minchas nesachim is brought together with the carbon, so everyone will agree that what? The order is carbon, mincha, nesachim. When the minchas nesachim is brought independent of the carbon, because as we said before, everyone agrees that the minchas nesachim could be brought that night or even the next day, the halacha is that what? It's first the nesachim, the wine libation, and then the mincha, because apparently the nesachim is more chashad than the mincha. Why? Because ultimately, again, the nesachim get shira, whereas the menachos do not. Hamatanos she'al mizbeach achiso im akvozuos. This was the last part of the Mishnah read. That if you have a carbon that has multiple blood applications, and you only did one of them, then the halacha is what? The halacha is that the halacha is that as long as you did one, your yotze and the other matanos are not ma'akev. Tan rabbanon, minayin lechalini tanalam is be'achak kitzon, shenasim matan achas shekiper. So the Gemara says, how do we know this? How do we know? Both say that ultimately, again, once you've done one blood application on the outer mizbeach, that kapara has been affected, and we're good. We're good to go, even if you don't do the rest of the blood application. Shenemar, v'dam, Lesek says, v'dam zivachecha yishafeich amizbach Hashem alokecha v'habasar tochel. Because ultimately, again, the pasuk says, the blood yishafeich. And Rashi points out to here, what does that mean? Even shvicha achos. Once there has been one act of pouring, which we translate as sprinkling, then ultimately, again, kapara has been affected. The karban is effective. And even though, again, Rabbi said, to be clear, obviously, I want to do all of the necessary sprinklings, but once I have done one, kapara has been affected, the karban is valid, and therefore the non-performance of the remaining sprinklings does not invalidate the karban. Rabbi, we'll stop over here for today. Daf Yomi will the merits Hashem take place 8:15 a.m. on the first 2 days of Yom Div, before davening on the first 2 days of Yom Div, and then the Cholamayit schedule, the daf will actually follow davening. Davening begins at 6:30. The daf will follow davening in Meretz Hashem at 7:30 a.m. But I'll send it out to Meretz Hashem on the WhatsApp a little bit later.
How did you get out about that story?